1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio WHIO and Sim Trainer Indoor Range and Firearms Training Center present Shooting from the Hip. It's straight talk about firearms, ammunition, self-defense, when and where you can carry, legislation, and legal issues. All about safety, training, and so much more. Your hosts are Jeff Pedro and Mark Avery. Jeff is a 24-year veteran police officer, currently assigned City of Kettering Detective, and owner and lead instructor at Sim Trainer. Mark is a retired Air Force officer, senior staff instructor at Sim Trainer, and NRA-certified instructor in multiple disciplines. They're here to bring to the microphone the truth about guns. Join them by calling 457-1290. Now, Shooting from the Hip. On AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
And welcome to the show. This is Mark Avery in for Jeff Pedro with Shooting from the Hip. Jeff is not here today. He's actually traveling back into the Dayton area, so he should be back with us next week. We do have a special guest in the studio today, and I'll introduce you to him in just a minute. Shooting from the Hip is sponsored by Sim Trainer, which is the Dayton area's first indoor shooting range and firearms training center. We have several things going on over the next few weeks. We have a first shots class that we had one this morning, and we have another this afternoon. There's actually still some space left in the class this afternoon. So if you've always kind of wanted to get an introduction to handguns, have never had an opportunity to do that before, or if maybe you've shot before but it's been a long time and maybe you never had a class that you learned the basic principles, the proper way to handle a handgun, give us a call at 293-3914 down at the range and get signed up for the class this afternoon. It starts at 4 o'clock, which will be obviously about an hour after our show is over. If you're interested in doing that, call the range and get signed up for that class. We do have some space left in it, which actually is kind of unusual. Normally those classes fill up so quickly that we just don't have any room at all until, you know, if the same day if you want to come in, it's going to be pretty tough. So we do have some space in that class, and if you'd like to get signed up for it, you can. We have a concealed carry class that will be on April 12th to 15th, and there are still some slots left in that as well. So you can call the range and get signed up for that as well if you're interested. That's our evening class, Monday through Thursday evening, and we do those about every other month. So if you're interested in getting a license to carry a concealed handgun, that's a good class to take. It meets the Ohio requirements and then some. We cover some things that the state doesn't necessarily require, but is very valuable information and something that we believe everybody who carries a handgun for personal defense needs to know about and needs to process themselves and get ready for and be prepared for that eventuality. We also have a basic handgun class on April 14th. I'm sorry, that's the legal update is on April 14th. If you already have a license to carry a concealed handgun and you did not have an attorney in your class, then you are at kind of a disadvantage. If you didn't get a good legal update on what it means to carry a concealed handgun and when it's appropriate to use deadly force in personal defense, you can come to our class. It's only $49 to take that class if you already have a license to carry a concealed handgun. So that class is offered on Wednesday, the Wednesday evening session, in association with the concealed carry class. And we'd love to have you come out and do that. You'll get a lot of the information that you just don't get by reading the book, and you don't get from, in most cases, most of the classes simply that they don't have the expertise to teach that. That's why we have an attorney teach that portion of the class. If you would like to get on the show, you can give us a call here at the studio at 457-1290. For those who are listening from outside our immediate area, that's 937-457-1290. And we have a guest in the studio today, and I'd like to introduce to you Cy Bird, who is a past president of the Ohio Gun Collectors Association. We've asked Cy to come into the studio today to give us a little bit of an overview of that organization, what they do, as well as to answer your questions. So we've had several people that have called us over the last year or so that we've been on the air with questions about the value of a particular gun. And some of those guns date pretty far back. And we're not experts in that area, but Cy absolutely is. He's rolling his eyes at me saying, well, why did you tell everybody that? Because I don't feel that way. But I know Cy well enough to know that he knows a lot more about it than me. That makes him an expert. So, and this is the Ask the Expert weekend. So we brought Cy in to do that. So if you have a question about the value of a gun or just some questions about guns and parts and things, especially older guns back World War One and before, back into the Civil War, some of the earliest parts of firearms history. You give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the air. Cy, welcome to the show. Welcome to Shooting from the Hip.
Well, thank you, Mark. I really do appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about the Ohio Gun Collectors Association, some of the history and some of the things that you offer.
Well, we've been around since 1937 and are the largest collectors club in the United States. We have members from 50 of the states and roughly 14 different countries.
Why?
And we have basically around 16,000 members.
That's great. That's really super.
We are a closed show. We put on 6 shows a year, and it's a closed show, so there's guests have to be brought in by a member. That's one of the key differences between our shows and any of the other shows, is that you have to be a member to come to the show.
Okay. So in order to become a member, you have to know someone who is a member.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
and then people, how do they come the first time? How do they do that?
I have a friend or relative that is a member of the club, and you can ask around to your different friends that are collectors or hunters, and you will generally find somebody that's a member of our organization, and then you can come right in.
Okay. So you don't have to have... You don't have to be pre-cleared. You just, you know, somebody comes in and vouches for you, and then they can, you can be entered to the, and you can be then in the meeting that day.
Sure.
Okay.
As long as you have somebody who will vouch for you who is a member, there's no problem with you coming in. Right.
Okay. And I'm a member.
Sure.
So,
sure.
As past president, I guess you're probably a member, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Life member, maybe even?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
The next meeting is on the 22nd and 23rd of May. So, anybody's interested in doing that, then they have some time between now and then to find a member and ask some of their friends, maybe ask some folks at the range that they shoot at if they're members and be willing to sponsor them in.
That would be a good idea. We have the May show in particular is our display show, so that gets us a chance to have roughly 40 to 45 displays that are display-only tables, plus the 800 or 750 that are non-display tables. So it's quite an interesting show.
It really is. I've been out there a few times. Usually you're held at the Roberts Arena in Wilmington.
Yes.
Is that where that normally
right.
is held?
Right.
And I've been out there a few times, and it's just a really great experience. There are some, you know, anybody that's a history buff wants to come out and see some of the really old guns, and some of them are in just absolutely gorgeous condition. You're not going to find anything like that short of the NRA Firearms Museum in most places.
No,
and
right.
They're just lovely.
We have, usually at the May show, we'll bring in several members from the NRA. Wayne LaPierre has been there several times. Phil Schreier from the Firearms Museum.
Yeah, great guy.
And just good people.
Okay.
Good people.
Let's take a break. We've already got our phones full, so let's take a break and take care of paying some bills, and then we'll come back right after this break and start going to the phones, answer some questions about folks that folks have for us on Shooting from the Hip. This is Mark Avery on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery in for Shooting from the Hip, and I'm here with Cy Bird, who is the past president of the Ohio Gun Collectors Association, and we have some calls on the line, so let's go right out to the phones and talk to Jennifer in Urbana. Jennifer, thank you for calling the show.
Hi, how are you?
We are great. What can we do for you today?
I just found out that my ex got a concealed carry license, and I want to know if there's any rights I have to make sure that he doesn't carry a weapon when he has our son on the weekend.
Why would you want to do that?
He was arrested a couple of years ago for menacing, and then he had a DUI a couple of years after that. And he doesn't always show the best judgment. So I just want to make sure that when my son is with him on Saturdays, that he's not having it with him where he might not notice our son playing with it, or he might get emotional in a situation. I just want to make sure that I don't trust him with a gun around my son, essentially.
I see. Actually, in terms of straight concealed carry, I don't think there's anything directly that would apply, except unless there was something that prevented him from getting a license, or if there was some action, in which case the sheriff's office would either suspend or revoke his license, depending on the nature of the thing. The only thing that I might suggest is to speak with your attorney and get some counsel on how you can resolve that question. In particular, I think it would have to probably come from a court, and there would have to be some sort of an order that would say this is, as part of your visitation, that you would have, these kinds of things. But again, I'm not an attorney, and the best thing that you can do is to speak with your attorney and make sure that it's handled in a situation that works both with what you believe is necessary for the safety of your child, as well as to stay within the bounds of the law.
Okay.
I'm sure that's not the answer you were looking for.
Well, we actually don't have a court-ordered visitation. It's just an agreement between the two of us. Is it common for people who have menacing charges and DUI convictions in their past to be able to get concealed license?
A DUI that will not stop somebody from getting a license, but unless there's a protection order of some kind or a conviction for something, either a conviction or pleading guilty to a charge that would include domestic violence, then those would that would prevent someone from getting a license. And if something happened after that fact, that would be the cause for the sheriff to suspend or revoke the license. But unless there was a court ruling that said, we're innocent until proven guilty. So unless there's something where that came through the courts, then it would not prevent someone from having a license.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's talk to William in Kettering. William has a question about concealed carry. William, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. I have a question. I moved here 10 years ago, and I had in the state of New York a lifetime concealed carry for 30 years.
Okay.
I came here and I went down to police station. I said, I've got this weapon. What do I do? You take it home and keep it there. This was before we had concealed carry, as far as I know.
Okay.
Now, can I get that concealed carry grandfathered in, or do I have to go out and pay $300 or $200? I'm a World War II veteran. I'm 80 years old. I just want to be able to have it.
I understand. You will need to take a class. I'll tell you what, we'll give you a special deal. If you call the range this afternoon, we'll at 293-3914, we'll get you hooked up with the concealed carry class. You do need to take the class, and then you'll have to pay for the license. The license is $67 is the license application fee. The hardest part of that process is going to be writing down every address that you've lived in since you were 18 years old. And
that's no problem. I'm military, and I've had top secret clearance.
Okay, so you've got that Form 84 filled out already,
I don't have any form.
Okay, but that's when I had to go through and get all my addresses back to when I was a kid too. So I kept that information as well. So yes, there is no transfer of license from New York. That would be great. We don't have a license, a lifetime license in Ohio. We don't have reciprocity with New York, so that wouldn't work. But we'll get you hooked up with a class, and then you'll be able to legally carry your handgun pursuant to your license, and we'll be glad to do that for you.
And that's $67 for the class?
No, the $67 is for the license fee. And our class is normally $150, but we'll get you a good deal on it.
Okay, and your telephone number?
Is 293-3914. And if you call about probably 3:30 or so, then I'll be there back at the range, and we'll get that taken care of.
And your name, sir?
My name is Mark Avery. I'm the host of Shooting from the Hip, as well as one of the instructors at the range.
Thank you, sir.
William, thank you very much for calling the show. Let's talk to Amin, who is calling from Dayton, and he has a question for Cy about a double-barrel pistol. Welcome to the show.
How are you there?
We are doing great.
How can we help you?
Okay, this weapon was brought back from my dad from North Africa. during World War II.
Are there any marks on it at all that would tell you what caliber it is or anything else?
It has to be close to be about 12 gauge because you stick a dime down the barrel on both sides.
Okay, so how long is this gun?
It's very short.
Okay.
Probably about 4 inches.
It sounds like a flare pistol of some kind from maybe the Egyptian government or German military or something like that.
It's not a flare pistol. It's percussion cap.
Well, yeah. Oh, percussion. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would date it probably back into the 1860s and prior to that.
Are you familiar with a Beluga gun pistol?
No, I'm not offhand.
Okay. I wonder if that... They said they made these weapons similar to this for people who rode elephants to protect them from
tigers and things like that.
Who can I talk to or bring it to and have them look at?
That's a great question. I mean, if there was going to be somebody, there's most likely going to be somebody at the gun collector show that would know something about that.
Yes.
Okay.
If you come to the show and have me paged, I'll be able to talk to you about it and that type of thing.
Okay.
And we can possibly find somebody who will know about it. And I'm sure there's somebody there that probably has two or three on their table.
Okay. Well, this is one I've never seen before.
Okay.
It's a unique pistol. It's got a wooden, really nice treated handle.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice weapon.
Okay.
So
and about a 12 gauge. Wow.
I'm sorry?
And about a 12 gauge caliber.
Yeah, I believe if you stick a dime down a barrel, it's about 12 gauge, isn't that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are the barrels rifled at all?
No.
It's smooth bore?
Yeah, smooth bore.
And percussion cap.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in seeing that. Sounds like a very unique unique piece of firearms history.
It's actually got two triggers on it, too.
Okay.
Three hammer.
Okay.
Like a double barrel shotgun almost.
Yeah, but it's a pistol. It's not like a sawed off shotgun either.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well,
okay.
You've already played Stump the Expert and won.
Okay.
but we'd love to have you come to the Ohio Gun Collectors Show next month and page Cybird. Go to the desk and ask them to page Cybird, and he will come meet you and take a look at this and get you into the show.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Thanks very much for calling
the
show.
All right, bye.
Let's talk to Bob in Springfield. Bob, you have a question about carry in other states.
Yeah, I have. I'm getting feedback here, but I got a permit for both Ohio and Florida, and I do a lot of traveling, and I'm just wondering if how I could get the rules and regulations for the different states.
Okay. I'll be happy to answer that question because we get that question quite a bit. There are several good sites that you can go to. And naturally, the best site to go to is sim-trainer.com. That's our website. And if you go to /radio, on the radio page, there are several different stories, history. If you look back through the show notes from the various weeks, you'll be able to see different places where we talked about that. And if you go down to the show from January 30th, 1:30, 2010, there is a whole list of websites there that you can find out the reciprocity agreements that Ohio has. Also, the Ohio Concealed Carry Booklet talks about that some. The U.S. Concealed Carry Association, handgunlaw.us, and concealedcarry.net are all good places to go to get that. So we're obviously at the bottom of the hour. We'll be headed into the news very shortly. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
You're tuned in to the Country Club of the North. Ask the Expert Show, Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. Jeff is out today. We welcome you back to the show. If you have any questions, you can give us a call at 457-1290. Or if you would like to, if you can't get on the show, or if you have a question that you'd like us to answer another way, you can also email us at radio@sim-trainer.com. Fans of the show can join our Facebook fan club, be a fan of our page at Facebook. You can go get that from our webpage at sim-trainer.com/radio. There's a link on there that'll take you to our Facebook fan page. And you can add us, add as a fan, become a fan of the show. If you're already on Facebook, if you would like to listen to the show after the fact and subscribe it as a podcast, we have the way for you to do that as well. We have now over 100 people that are following our podcast, and we're really glad to hear that. And we're also glad to welcome them to the show whenever it is that they happen to get to listen to us. So there is a link on our page at sim-trainer.com/radio, and you can subscribe from any of the podcast listeners from there as well. The range itself is at 2031 and Dryden Road in Moraine. It's right across from the DP&L Maintenance Yard. And it's pretty easy to find, so you can get there either from coming off the Dryden Road exit if you're headed north, or you can come down south. There's several ways to get there. There's also maps on our website, so you can find the range. Stop by, take a look, get a tour of the range, and if you'd like to, you can also, of course, join the range. We're open to anyone that's a law-abiding citizen. We do require a background check for everyone that shoots at the range, and that protects not only you as the shooter from someone else, but also protects everyone else to make sure that that we have people that are legally authorized and permitted to own a firearm and shoot. So we'd love to have you come down to the range. I'd like to welcome back to the show Cy Bird, who's a past president of the Ohio Gun Collectors Association. And Cy, welcome to the show. Let's go back out to the phones and talk to Max, who has a question for us about a rifle from about the time of the Civil War. Max, yes. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I had this rifle that was given to me by my relation, and I've often wondered what the worth of this gun is. It has 1863 is stamped on the side of it. It is a shooting condition gun, and I've had it for several years, and I don't know it. The name of this gun is Tower, T-O-W-E-R, and I'm just wondering what the worth of this gun is. Could you help me with that?
The Tower muskets were used from the American Revolution forward. You'll find that the Towers that you're talking about, the 1863, is generally a .58 caliber.
Yes, that's exactly what this is.
And it was yours converted to percussion?
Now, this does have, like, the hammer you pull back and put the cap on, you mean?
Okay, yes, yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So those were originally flintlocks?
Well, the original Towers were before about 1840, and then about 1840 they were all made into percussion.
Okay.
The ones in the Civil War were just made as percussion units. The Tower that you've got, does it have a crown on the lock plate?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
It'll have a British, it looks like a British crown that's stamped right into the lock plate itself.
Oh, I think it does. I think it may have.
Those were brought over and purchased by the Union Army and issued to the Union troops, a very nice weapon. Very, very nice. And generally in the price range, it all depends on condition, and we've seen them go from $700 to about
$1,500. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you know if this gun still has its original bluing on it, or if it's been re-blued?
Well, you know, I don't think it's been re-blued. I don't think so.
Well, that greatly affects the value of the gun.
Condition. That's all developed by price.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Well, I didn't want to just take it to anybody, and I'm not interested in selling it, but I did like to know what the value was.
Right.
And the other question I have, I'm legally blind, and I was wondering if it's, do you think that it's possible for me to be able to pass to carry a concealed weapon test?
It's certainly possible. It depends a little bit on how competent you can be with a handgun. So, you know, legally blind covers a pretty broad range of sighted abilities. So that would be something that would depend on, you know, how well that you could do that. But that's certainly something that's in the art of the possible.
Uh-huh. Now, thinking that I wouldn't be able to hardly read the test, but could I bring somebody with me to read that for me and then I answer the questions?
Well, we've also been able to give people the test orally. We've even had some folks in who were sighted but didn't know how to read very well. And, there's an awful lot of people still in our society who grew up in a time when reading wasn't essential and it was something that everybody learned how to do as well as they do nowadays. And so we've had folks that couldn't even read the test, but we just give it to them orally. So that's certainly in the art of the possible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I felt like I was almost not able to take it, but... Now, I went to a gun show, and this guy had a laser fastened onto the side of the gun, and I could point that laser right at the target and didn't have any trouble at all with.
Okay. That's certainly the kind of an accommodation, a technological accommodation, that many people use a laser on a handgun for personal defense, and that would certainly be something that would be possible.
Yeah. And on your tower, if you'd like to bring that down to our show on the 22nd or 23rd, on the Saturday or Sunday, and you have us paged, say midday around 12, we can give you a rough idea of the value of your gun.
Yes. Do I have to carry that in with a lock on it, or?
No, just bring it in with a tie around it, a little cable tie or something.
And okay. And they have those available at the desk when
right
you
at
check
the front
in
desk.
As well. So.
Okay. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Max, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out to Kettering and talk to Mo real quick before we take a break. Mo, are you there? Okay. We'll get back to him and talk. Go out to Joe in West Jefferson. Joe, you have a question for us.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question. I spoke to a friend recently, and I was told that if I were to purchase a weapon outside of the Columbus City limits, that I wouldn't need to go through the NICS background investigation?
That's not a true statement. Whether or not you need a NICS check depends on the dealer that you're purchasing from, or if you're purchasing a gun from out of state, then you would have to automatically have a NICS check done because you can only purchase a gun transferred out of state through a federally licensed firearms dealer. But there is no requirement in the city of Columbus or any other city anymore in Ohio because we have statewide preemption. So if you're doing a private sale from you to another person, then you don't have to have a background check run. And it's kind of up to the person to make sure that they know who you are and you know who they are to make sure that you're only transferring firearms to and from people who are legitimately allowed to own them. But if you purchase from a dealer anywhere in Ohio, you'll have to have a NICS check run regardless of whether it's in the city or out. Every firearms dealer in Ohio is federally licensed. It's a federal license program, not an Ohio program. And Ohio does not have a separate check program. Ohio does not exempt people from a background check because they have a license to carry concealed handgun. And there are several states that do that. Ohio doesn't have that kind of a requirement. So everybody that purchases a firearm from a dealer must go through the background check.
I see.
It doesn't matter what city you're in.
Okay, now, and if you were to buy from a gun show or a private dealer and you wanted to get a concealed carry permit, then you would need to go through the NICS check?
No, those aren't related. It doesn't matter where you purchase the gun. The background check, when you apply for your concealed handgun license, the sheriff's office will run a background check.
I see.
So you don't have to have that in advance. You just get your application. When you submit your application and pay your fee, part of that fee goes to the expense of running the background check.
Okay. I also have another question.
Okay, real quick, because we need to take a break.
Okay. I recently tried to purchase a weapon. I moved here from Pennsylvania, didn't have an Ohio driver's license. There was a hold. I gave a few guns to trade to the dealer, and when it came back because of an identity theft issue, I was denied. And the dealer told me that they couldn't return the weapon to me that I gave to them in trade. Could you tell me what my options might be in that case?
Did you resolve the identity theft questions and get that done?
I'm working on the appeal right now.
Okay. Yeah, if you officially transferred the guns to the dealer and they took possession of them and put them in their log as now being part of the dealer's inventory, they unfortunately can't transfer them back to you without have you pass a background check, even if there's no charge, because it's in their inventory. That inventory log is permanent, and they can't. There's nothing they can do about it until you can get that background check cleared. So you'll need to get the identity theft questions resolved, and then you'll be able to do the transfer or, you know, purchase another gun and still using those guns as trade-in. Thanks for calling the show. We're at our last break, so we'll be out and back in just a few minutes after we pay some bills. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery, and I'm in with Cy Bird from the Ohio Gun Collectors Association here on Shooting from the Hip. Let's go right out to the phones, and we'll talk to Mo in Kettering, who has a question for us. Mo, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My question is, like, when you're allowed to use a firearm to defend yourself. One time it was like a road rage thing, and this guy was like 250 pounds. I'm 67 years old. He beat the living hell out of me, put me in the hospital. Now, would that qualify as being a reason to use a firearm or not?
Rather than answer the question exactly, let me give you what the requirements are. And I think that you'll probably answer that question for yourself. The question that you need to answer for yourself is, do I believe that I am at risk of grave bodily harm or death? In other words, is this threat that is imminent right now putting me at risk of either a serious injury or could I die from this attack that I'm currently, you know, that is imminent right now? Not just something I'm thinking might happen, but is going on right now. Now, given that definition as the requirement for the use of deadly force, what would you say based on your knowledge of your situation?
Well, I think I would probably, your first thing is just get the hell out of there.
Absolutely.
And then, but if there's, like, no way out or, okay, I keep a little Walther PPK in my truck, and if somebody is coming up and trying to pull my door open, I mean, it's obvious that he wants to, like, beat the hell out of me. Is it okay if I just pull that piece out? And a lot of times I would think that just showing it would make a difference, but...
Yeah, it sometimes does, but you can't count on that. And before you bring the gun out, you need to be already justified in the use of that firearm. So some people say, you know, if you're going to bring it out, you better shoot it. And that's not exactly the same thing that I'm saying. What I am saying is that if you are bringing the gun out, you need to already be at the point where you believed that you were at risk of grave bodily harm or death. And at that point, then, if the situation changes, you may not need to fire. But from the description, it sounds like that if somebody is trying to force you to do something and they're using the threat of force to do that, and you believe that the force they can apply could cause you grave bodily harm or death, then using a deadly force in return is justified. And that is exactly the definition that Ohio requires, that you must have that threat in order to be able to use that force. We need to take one more break, so let's go out and do that, and we'll be back with just a few minutes left at the top of the hour.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, and I'm here with Cy Bird, past president of the Ohio Gun Collectors Association. And let's go right back out to the phones and talk to Don in Huber Heights, who has a question about a particular firearm. Don, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah, I got a are you there?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
we're here. Go right ahead, Don.
Yeah, I bought a 12-gauge pump gun off a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a year ago.
Okay.
And it's an old Stevens gun.
Okay.
It says Stevens Savage Arms Corporation Model 820B.
Okay, is it possible that maybe it's a 620B?
No, it says 820B.
Okay, all right.
And I was looking through some numbers the other day, and I think it was like a back in the 30s or something, 1930s.
That sounds very familiar. We're trying to look up the 820 right now.
So it says Stephen Savage.
Yeah, Stephen Savage. It says C-H-O-P-E-E, Falls, Massachusetts, USA on it. So it's kind of an old... I took it up to English gun shop, and they right. told me I was afraid the pump part of it was real loose.
Uh-huh.
They told me not to really worry about that. Just go ahead and shoot it.
Right.
I've shot it quite a few times.
What kind of condition is it in?
Oh, it's a beautiful gun.
Okay.
It's been
okay.
oiled up all of its life, all of its bluings on it. The wood looks perfect. Everything looks good on it.
Okay.
Even got the suppression thing on the rear of it and everything.
All right. Generally, when I look under Savage, we're looking at prices that range from $585 for excellent to, say, $350.
Oh, yeah?
And
okay.
And you're right in that particular range.
I got another question.
I'm sorry, Don. We are just flat out of time. I'd love to take it. So we leaving folks on the line today. We try not to do that. So send us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com or give us a call at the range at 293-3914. And we will be back here next week with Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.